Okay, as I just want us to just do a little bit of quick review. I'm just going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to fast forward a few slides. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. And this is where we're going to start now. Okay, there's where we're going to start right now. Okay, we talked about not losing heart. We talked about other things. So let's talk about, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. So you see, momentary, it's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. The only time. It means for the moment, for a little while, temporary, transient, lasting or staying only a short time. I love how Webster defined it. Okay, sometimes Webster, in the light of the New Testament or the Old Testament, kind of is not very well. But this one says, coming and going quickly, and therefore being merely a brief interruption of a more enduring state. Whoa. Okay? Now, in your mind, let's try this little exercise, okay? If I was in PE class, I would say, let's try this big exercise, okay? You know, do jumping jacks and kids and show me an X and an I. You know, so try this little exercise. Use each of the following synonyms of momentary to modify the word light affliction. Okay? Brief, light affliction. Fleeting, flying, fecacious, impairment, passing, quick, short-lived, temporary, transient. Okay? Those are all synonyms of momentary. Okay? It doesn't sound very momentary to me. Okay? Especially short-lived. How many of our light afflictions seem short-lived? No, never. Okay? They never do. Okay? I love this little poster I saw from a website. It says, momentary afflictions preparing me for eternal glory. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay? But it not only says that our afflictions are momentary, but they're what? Light. Now, I don't know if I believe that they're momentary, and I don't think we believe that it's momentary, but I sure have a hard time at times as my human being saying that they're light. Okay, if somebody's got a Bible open, turn to Matthew 11:30 for me. Okay, light means not heavy, easy to bear. The only other time in the scripture that phrase for light is found is Matthew 11:30. Somebody have it? Go ahead.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
My burden is light. Okay? It's not burdensome. It's not difficult to bear. Okay. I'm just reading the definitions. I don't know if I agree. Having little weight, easy to be lifted, maybe if somebody else is doing the lifting, born or carried by physical strength. Okay. Me being an English teacher at some point in time in my life, not really, I'm a math and science teacher, but I started out my education as an English teacher. Here are some of the synonyms for light. Slight, easy, trivial. I love the parenthesis here. Albeit when we are experiencing them, they don't seem very trivial. Okay, I'm sure if I asked my wife, there's not a chance in the world they're trivial. Manageable. Well, okay, in whose lifetime? Small. Featherweight. Light as a feather. Now, that didn't make sense to me. How many people think we have momentary and light afflictions? Yeah, we know because the scripture tells us we do, okay? I'm not sure we feel in our bones, but here's what I found from some website. The light in comparison to three things, okay? And remember, if you say something is something, okay? If you say we're fast, who are we fast compared to? Okay, I may be fast compared to, you know, somebody, okay? But I'm sure not fast compared to Usain Bolt. Okay, so let's see where light is comparison to. Okay, light in comparison to sin. He who feels sin heavy feels suffering light. True? For the wages of sin is what? Yeah, that's pretty heavy. It's light in comparison to hell. What is persecution compared to damnation? Just think that. Okay. That's pretty heavy. It's light in comparison to glory. The weight of glory makes persecution light. Okay. I mean, as many marathons as I ran, at times, the only thing that got me through is I could see the finish line. Okay. There was times where I just wanted to give up. Okay. So, the momentary, the light. But here's the beauty of it. It produces something miraculous. Okay, it produces eternal glory. Okay, if you know, I know people wonder why I use so many arrows in my PowerPoints. It's my scientific. It means it yields. Okay, if you do a chemical equation, you know, you have this that yields this. Okay, and that's why I use it. Okay, so problems are temporary. Praise the Lord. God is eternal. It produces eternal glory. What does that word produce mean? If I produce a document, or if I produce a piece of art. Okay, it's a work, okay? You're engaged in an activity that involves considerable expenditure of effort, right? Yes.
I don't know if you're, are you taking questions?
Yeah, oh yeah, anytime. Comments, questions, or anything. Yes.
I don't know where you're, if you're getting to this, but my thought is that momentary light afflictions from an earthly standpoint are nothing, they're not momentary and they're not light. So they could last an entire lifetime, which would mean obviously they're not momentary.
Right.
And from an earthly standpoint, they could be the most difficult things you could ever imagine because some people have suffered their entire lives.
Yep.
Helen Keller, I mean, other people.
Yeah, I see.
But from an earthly, from an eternal standpoint, everything that that means, momentary infinity.
Yeah. I agree with you, Rich.
Even our whole life is momentary. It says like a vapor.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And I will get there, and the scripture gets to it.
Okay.
But
that's why I didn't know whether you're
talking. No. If we all know the scripture, yes.
But
okay.
Could you tell us, I mean, you have Dodie, and I don't know if everybody knows what Dodie
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that, okay. No. And it doesn't, okay? But it produces what? What does that yield sign say? Eternal glory, okay? It's what Rich has said, okay? It produces eternal glory. The marathon, as I've said a couple times, I don't care if you've trained. In training, they tell you, okay, train up to about 20 miles. It does you no good to do runs further than 20 miles because it doesn't matter if you do 30-mile runs, 40-mile runs. Gene, where are you going to hit the wall most of the time?
20.
Yeah, 22, okay? Mile 22, mile 21, it's what they call hit the wall. I don't care how much you've trained, and I remember the first marathon I ran, I put in 80 and 100 miles a week or more. And I got to mile 21, and I hit the wall. And you just have to push through. Okay, it's like Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I'm straining. I'm pressing on. I'm straining to reach the finish line. Okay, that's what it means to produce. Produce means to work out fully and thoroughly. To finish or carry something to its conclusion. Yes, go ahead.
So, are you saying that if you pursue in the pain, then you get eternal glory, but don't we get that through Jesus anyway?
Right, and that's who's producing our eternal glory, okay? No.
More of a glory.
No. 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 Definitely not. Definitely not. No, I'm glad. Hey, if that's what I'm, if that's what how what is coming through, that's not what it means, okay? Christ is the ultimate thing.
So what you're saying is some of us are in pain to bring us to Jesus?
No, I don't know. I don't know why we're in pain, okay? Only the Lord can tell us why we're in pain, okay? If I ask my wife why she's had cancer four times, there's not a way that she could answer that question. You know, ultimately she knows you got the Christ that's her forerunner. And we've got eternal glory coming. And that's hard. I think Rich hit it in the nail, okay? If we look at it as we will get to in the next verse, verse 18, if we look at the things that are here on earth and not the things that are eternal, we're going to lose our perspective.
It's about our perspective.
Yeah, yeah, right. And I think sometimes when we go through a scripture like this, we get focused on a few things and not look at the total picture. Yes.
You know, a good thought I just had was, I think it's a good thought.
I'm sure it is.
But I'm thinking of Stephen when he's getting beat up.
Oh, yeah.
And there he is, just getting beaten to death. And where were his eyes?
Yeah. You were focused, yeah. Focused on Christ. Okay. I thought this was a neat slide I saw. I've never had the privilege to go overseas, and we've had people here that have gone to all sorts of countries, okay? This is in the Cathedral of Milan in Italy. Over the triple doorways of the Cathedral of Milan, there are three inscriptions spanning the splendid arches, okay? Over one is carved a beautiful wreath of roses, and underneath is a legend, "All that which pleases is but for a moment." Over the other is sculptured a cross, and there are the words, "All that which troubles us is but for a moment." But underneath the great central entrance to the main aisle is the inscription, "That only is important which is eternal." Yeah, puts it in perspective. Okay. Eternal glory. Now, if we place, I think this is what Rich was telling us. If we place our present afflictions on the scale, okay, and our promised future glory on the other side of the scale, where are the scales going to be? Yeah, boom. It's going to be like this. Now, what's, you know, I get so tired of buzzwords. You know, you got politically correct buzzwords and you got all sorts of. One of the big buzzwords, at least in physical education, has been balance. How many of us have heard of balance? Okay, yeah. We've got to be balanced. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with the word balance. Obviously, we need to be balanced physically, emotionally, spiritually, and everything else. But in this case, is balance good? No, it isn't, okay? In this case, I hope we're unbalanced in the internal perspective. Because if we don't have Christ, our light, momentary afflictions are going to feel anything but light and momentary. Right? They're going to feel heavy. Yes.
So you're talking about focus.
Yes, which is the next verse. No, you're right. We're talking, okay? Hey, so let's go back. I'm going to scroll back to our scripture that we started with. Okay, right there. Do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's the focus, okay? For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, okay? Now, here's the key. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? We've got to see the whole picture. So, there it is. Couple before I get to that verse. A couple of sayings that I thought really hit me like a bolt of lightning. Okay, here's a little thing. It says, living with eternity in view. Okay, that's how we're supposed to live. Gustafson said, he promised no immunity from chance, instead a cross with adverse circumstances. Yet we may toil with joy in all we do, for life is brief, eternity's in view. Somebody got a scripture? Read James 1, 2 through 4 to me. James, I have a personal problem with this because I don't think I can do this, but I only can do that with eternity in view. So James 1, 2 through 4. Somebody have a, go ahead and read it for me. Go ahead, Ben.
Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Count it what?
Joy.
All joy when we... Yeah, okay. Now, I have a hard time with that. The only way you can do that is to finish the verses and understand it. Because you know it's going to produce an eternal result. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the all-time saints. I love his stuff on the second coming. I love his Old Testament perspective, his New Testament perspective. He said it this way on this passage: the supreme need in every hour of difficulty is a vision of God. React to that. Yeah.
I'm still thinking about verse.
Okay, go ahead.
Renew your mind day by day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not physical. It's not
right.
Mental. It's happening in your mind.
Right.
And I think all of us would attest that we don't feel like we're being renewed. We feel like it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what the verse says.
No.
So we may think we're in a major valley, and we've gone backwards big time, but God has... He's doing something bigger than we understand, and he knows that we are being sanctified in our hearts to go in a certain direction. We don't feel like we're going in a very good path. You know, that we like to be steady, a slope, going
right
up, more and more spiritual as we get older. It doesn't work that way.
No.
That's not what the verse says.
Right.
And I think of Job.
I couldn't be Job.
Went through his trials.
Here's what we've all been trying to wait for, okay? This is what we've been trying to talk about, the ultimate part of this passage. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, let's look at that. You know, let me ask a question. Why do we use a telescope? Why do we use a microscope?
To see what you can't see. To bring an image closer.
Okay, to bring an image closer, to see what we can't see. Okay? Scope, right? Microscope. Okay. That's what the word look in that passage means. It means to scope. Okay? That's the exact word they're talking about. You're scoping, okay? It's like the eternal perspective of a microscope. Okay, I'm going to take a bunch of fifth and sixth graders to Catalina next month. And one of the labs that we're going to do there is we're going to get a digital microscope and see plankton and see all some other stuff. Stuff that you can't visually see, they're going to have a digital microscope, okay? We're going to get to go up in the Catalina Bluffs and take a telescope and look at some of the constellations and do some things like that. Okay, it's perspective. Okay, we look not at the things which are seen. The things that are seen are the toils, the afflictions. Okay, we can all fill in blank. Physically, emotional, spiritual, relational. We can see those, right? I can see what my wife is going through daily. Okay. We can see our loved ones that don't know Christ. And we can see what they're going through. Wayward sons, relationships that are broken. Those are pretty easy to see, unfortunately. But we need to look at the things which are unseen. The rewards of faithful service at the coming of the Lord. When Christ says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We can't see those. One of my favorite persons, and I got a privilege to meet her when she was about 80-something at a Christian teacher convention one time, and that's Corrie Ten Boom, okay? We don't know about Corrie Ten Boom. She was born in the Netherlands. Very devout Christian family that decided when Nazi Germany took over that they were going to harbor Jewish people in what she called the hiding place. And she did that. And she saved about 85 to 100 people. But one day, somebody turned her in. Somebody that she thought was her friend. And her and 25 other people got confined to a Nazi concentration camp where she lost her dad and Betsy, her sister. And I remember the story she told us in this teacher convention, she said, "I wanted to hate that nurse that put my sister Betsy to death." She said, "But I couldn't." Okay. This is what she said in the middle of a concentration camp. "Look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest." I don't know if I can say any, I can't say it any better. Okay? If you look around, what's going to happen? I mean, we all see Fox News and CNN and KNVC and all that other stuff. Okay, it's depressing. I mean, it is. Okay, it's distressing. Okay, you look inside, and we don't want to see. We have frailties. You know, and maybe it's because I'm old. I love old hymns. This is one of my favorite hymns of all time. "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." I just want to read the story about that because I think it hits us now. The frail old woman sits at a table in her tiny room in Seattle, Washington. Before her is a small plastic organ, one such as a child might have. But as she fingers the keys and sings, her poor surrounding seems to fade from view. Her face shines with the light of heaven, and tears trickle down her time-lined cheeks. Perhaps in her mind she is seated at a majestic pipe organ in some ornate cathedral, but the place doesn't matter. She is intent on worshiping her Savior. The woman's name is Helen, in her 90s at the time described, and with the little of this world's goods, her faith sustained her when asked, "How are you?" Her frequent reply was, "I'm fine in the things that count." Helen Horwath Limmel was born in England, the daughter of a Methodist clergyman. As a child, she was brought to America, where she spent the remainder of her life. A gifted soloist, she gave concerts in many churches and taught voice for a time at Moody Bible Institute. She moved to Seattle in 1904 and for 3 years was a music critic for the Seattle Post. Mrs. Limmel also authored about 500 hymns. She wrote a lovely song, both words and music, in 1918. Helen Limmel was given a tract by a visiting missionary. The leaflet was entitled Focused. And it was this exhortation: "So then turn your eyes upon him, Christ, look full into his face, and you will find that things on earth will acquire a strange new dimness." Mrs. Limmel was riveted by these words. She says, "I stood still, and singing in my soul and spirit was the chorus. O soul, are you worried and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I don't know if, you know, I can quit at this point, because I think that song says it all. But this is, when I was sharing my PowerPoint with my wife and going through all the process, and my wife, she hands me this piece of paper. And you've all received her cards, and you've received her encouragements, and you've received her. Well, this is my wife's paraphrase of this scripture. And I'm going to try to read it without losing it. Okay? "Don't get discouraged about having cancer that ravages the body, because on the inside where it counts, I'm being renewed in my spirit. My cancer troubles are light and momentary compared to Christ's suffering on the cross. My cancer has eternal value, an eternal reward. I'm rewarded in the intimacy of my relationship with the Lord here on earth. The expanse of my heavenly reward is not something I can grasp or understand. However, through my suffering, I gain perseverance to run the race set before me. The finish line is unseen. Thus, my focus should not be based on what I see or perceive to be in front of me. My cancer is temporary in the scope of eternity. Therefore, I press on daily to grow in the unseen, to live in God's reality and not fret over my cancer and all the related circumstances." I think that puts it in perspective. That's what this...
People have cancer, people have horrible things going on. It's sin, it's awful. It's just a result of sin. It's an awful... in the world.
Yeah.
Like, God didn't create cancer.
No.
When he created everything good and said it's good, cancer sucks. But what Andy said, all pain...
I don't do very well with it. I mean, I really don't, okay? There's not a chance in the world I could do what my wife has done for the last 6 or 7 years. So.
Well, hopefully it's not her doing.
No.
Right.
Right.
She's good in her own time.
No, no. And I think that tells you there that she can't. Okay. So let's just summarize what we've talked about. The present is that we're living in this world. The future, thank the Lord, will be in Christ's presence. The present is what? Temporary. The future is eternal. Present, humility. The future, exaltation. The present, we're bearing our cross. We're cross-wearing. Present, we're suffering. It produces eternal glory. Present, it's describable. You know, in the future, I can't. I don't know, I can't. It's incomparable. Okay? Present, we have trials. Future, it's triumph. So, let's read the scripture one more time, and then anybody has a comment. Okay? Keywords. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are transient.